Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the full-service law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, which is located in Fairfax, Virginia, and serves the entire Washington, D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about OFP, visit us on the web at www.OFPlaw.com. And also, I invite you to join my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, which is on the web, and it has all of the old radio shows as well as videos and articles on estate planning, tax, and business planning topics of interest. And last but not least, please read my column in the Washington Business Journal entitled Blueprint for Wealth, which is every Friday, the first Friday of every month. Today, we're going to be talking about private equity. We've talked about it before, coming at it from different angles. We're going to have a two-part series. Really, the first series is going to focus on what private equity is. And the second segment, which will air the following week, will be all about the structures of private equity today. The term private equity encompasses a wide range of techniques that are used to finance commercial ventures, basically businesses. And it does not involve publicly tradable securities such as corporate stock or bonds. The typical forms of private equity include venture capital. They also include growth and mezzanine capital. You've heard of angel investing? That's a form of private equity. And then there are private equity funds, actually, that have taken investments from individuals and institutions to deploy in the commercial markets. Private equity investors want to get a substantial interest in a company in order to gain control over the firm's management at some point in time. Their goal is to boost the value of the company, sell off their investment, and then walk away with substantially more money than they put in. Sounds like a good plan, right? In 2006, the statistics were that there were about 1,500 private equity firms just in the United States alone. And under management, there was close to $1 trillion last year in private equity capital. Why does private equity matter? Well, the amount of money flowing in private equity funds is constantly on the rise. According to the Private Equity Council, which is a consortium of investment firms, there's nearly $700 billion on the table awaiting to be invested right now. Analysts expect to see an increase in corporate buyouts as a result of this cash flow, even after the downturn in the economy. Why does it matter to you? Well, private equity investors tend either to be institutions or very wealthy individuals. So the average worker might not directly experience the ways in which private equity is having an impact on corporate strategy and governance, but private equity can have a significant impact on how your company is run if you're an employee of one of these private equity funded firms, or the way it positions itself to compete in the current business environment. If you work for a small business that's received private equity funding, or a startup that's backed by venture capital, it's pretty likely that private equity investors played a significant role in your company's board of directors. On a day-to-day basis, that means you're likely to see higher expectations for sales targets and meeting your business goals. If senior management can't meet those goals, expect to see new faces in the office soon. In larger companies, private investment is responsible for an increasing chunk of merger and acquisition activity. Take Warren Buffett's recently announced acquisition of Lubricol, which is a chemical company that he purchased through Berkshire Hathaway for $9 billion. So, what are the advantages or the strong points of private equity? Well, private equity firms specialize in increasing the value of their holdings. They reinvigorate management of the company with the investment. It means that they're going to try to strengthen the leadership structure and refocus the company's strategy or help meet the company's ultimate goals and objectives. They're going to help try to reduce cost structures. They're going to institute growth initiatives or even break up the company and sell it in parts. When private equity works as it was intended, the result is that there's going to be more efficient use of capital, which in turn fuels the economy and helps drive innovation, particularly in the technology sector. Here's an example. Warner Music Group provides a good example. of how private equity can work. In early 2004, a group of private investors purchased the music label from Time Warner for $2.6 billion. Operational cuts were made, and the company went public in May of 2005. In early 2007, it had a market cap of value of more than $3 billion, providing the private equity investors with a very healthy return on their investments. The weak spots in private equity? Well, many critics charge that private equity investors seek to boost the value of a company as quickly as possible. They have little regard for intangible factors, such as the company culture, or its history, or what it's like for the employees. In other words, while private equity may be great for the investors, it may not be so much fun for the companies that they invest in, or particularly the people who work for those companies. Let's look at the 2000 buyout of KB Toys by Bain Capital, one of the biggest private equity firms in the world. As part of the financing agreement, KB Toys was required to pay Bain $120 million in a special dividend to guarantee Bain's profits. KB couldn't service the debt, so it went into Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2004. Creditors, including Big Lots and Hasbro, sued KB Management and Bain, alleging that they seized cash to line their own pockets. Bain claimed that the company was struggling because of competition from Walmart and other companies like Target. When the lawsuit was ultimately settled, KB's creditors received only pennies on the dollar to pay the outstanding debts that were owed by KB Toys. So, here are some key terms that private equity investors use, and if you're interested in learning about them, there's lots of resources on the web. Number one, an angel investor. That's usually an individual, an informal type of private equity investment. It's often wealthy friends or family, and the angel investing networks also exist. So, if you can get $100,000 from one of five angel investors, you'll probably be able to keep your development efforts afloat for another year. That's a typical angel investment. Then there's something called the A round. It's the initial round of funding in which a venture capitalist puts up money for a company that used to be backed by the founders or even angel investors. Here's an example. The company raised $6 million in an A round financing, which often is structured as a form of convertible preferred stock investment. There's something called a Dutch auction. I know you've heard of this. You may not know what it is, though. It's a term that applies to an initial public offering of a company in which the highest bidder gets the opportunity to buy shares in the IPO first. If any shares are left, the next highest bidder gets those shares and so on. Google's IPO was probably one of the most famous Dutch auctions to date. Exit strategy, a key term for mergers and acquisitions. It's the name of the game in private equity today. The approach a private equity firm that uses to convert its ownership of shares of the company into cold, hard cash. So, if the IPO market is sluggish, an acquisition may be one of the ways to achieve your best exit strategy. LBO, or leveraged buyout. I know you've heard of this. When an investor gains majority control of a company by using debt, usually in the form of borrowed money or bonds, they borrow money from a bank or a series of banks or investors. It can be risky if the firm's cash flow is not predictable or uneven, and it could hinder the company's ability to service its debt. So leveraged buyouts typically are very high-risk investments. Mezzanine capital, another commonly used term in the private equity world. It's a form of private financing that carries a higher credit risk because it's exchanged for equity, common stock or preferred stock, that is not secured by the collateral or assets of the company. So in the event of bankruptcy or default, a mezzanine capital investor may lose out, and therefore the rate of return that they're going to demand is going to be much, much higher. So mezzanine capital might make sense if you need to bridge your funding gap until you launch your IPO or until you sell the company in an exit strategy. Venture capital. It's a form of private equity fund that specializes usually in early stage or startup companies. VCs, venture capitalists, typically have a higher tolerance for risk than other private equity investors, but they demand a lot more in exchange. What are the biggest private equity players today? Well, Blackstone Group is one of the biggest, involved in real estate, consumer and industrial products, and communications. Another one that's based here in Washington, D.C., is the Carlyle Group, which specializes in telecom and media, auto and transportation, technology and business services, and government contracting. Goldman Sachs, number three, a huge private equity firm. Others include Texas Pacific and Warburg Pincus. There are lots of ways to deploy capital in the market today in the form of private equity. And equity typically refers to an equity investment in a company, which is usually common stock or preferred stock or convertible preferred stock. That's distinguished from debt, which has usually definite repayment terms and carries an interest rate and is usually going to get paid before the equity investors. So if you think about an equity investor, you're thinking about a higher risk tolerance and therefore a higher rate of return that they're going to demand on their investment. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth. And if you'd like to know more about private equity investing, please call us at Odin Feldman and Pittleman at 703-218-2100 or visit us on the web at ofplaw.com or visit my blog, blueprintforwealth.org. Thanks for listening to Blueprint for Wealth. We've got special guests on the way.